SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Football Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. And look who they called in to get you ready for Conference Championship Weekend on a Football Friday. For a full Football Friday, for the first time, basically all NFL season, the big guns. Donnie Wrightside is here on a Football Friday all day long on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. We preview the entirety of Conference Championship Weekend. I am talking full breakdowns, previews, and picks for each of our two Conference Championship matchups on Sunday. We'll look at the numbers, the odds, and what we expect for the AFC and NFC Championship games and the individuals that will direct impact the outcome in the prop market. Every single angle of attack for Conference Championship Weekend, with plenty news and notes around the NFL as well. DRS here on a Football Friday.
We've been waiting for these games on Sunday here, been talking about them all week long. Some changes to some spreads, including totals in that Buffalo-Kansas City game. We'll get to the injury reports for the NFC game. A couple guys missing practices on both sides. The Friday report will tell you everything you need to know about who's playing on Sunday and who's not. And trust me, when you look at week 13, week 14, week 7, oh, look at that. They might not be playing. These guys are professionals. They understand how big of a football game this is. If there's any way they can limp on and off that field, they will play this weekend. So I love it. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year. And we have a Football Friday to blast off into Saturday and Sunday.
Everybody who will be out there on Sunday, what we expect the games to look like, what it means from the odds perspective, with the four teams still standing in the hunt for a Lombardi Trophy, the Chiefs and the Bills in the AFC Championship game. That's the nightcap. The Commanders and the Eagles in Philadelphia in the first of two on Sunday afternoon. Again, previews all 3 hours long. But Donnie, around the National Football League, there's only four teams still in the chase for a Super Bowl championship. That means 28 other organizations already focused on the future of their franchises. And what a 48 hours it was in the state of Florida, featuring two NFL teams, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On Wednesday, Liam Cohen said, I'm taking my name out of the running, despite perhaps being the front runner to get the Jaguars head coaching job. Later that afternoon, Shad Khan says, oh, maybe everybody was right. Maybe Trent Baalke is holding this team back in the GM spot. He gets fired. So then yesterday, the Jags reach back out to Liam Cohen, who goes to the Buccaneers, and ultimately, there is a new head coach in Jacksonville. His name is Liam Cohen, the Buccaneers offensive coordinator this past season, who seemed as though he would return to Tampa to be the highest paid OC in the NFL. Nope. Now the new head coach in Jacksonville.
I think it's a good fit. We'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, but this is why you have an agent that handles your business. Liam Cohen probably was like, I'll take that job any way I can get it. It's a head coaching job in the state of Florida. Looks like a pretty good organization. And his agent probably stepped in and goes, I don't really know if we like this general manager. Why don't you fly back and let me work on some things here? And it looks like he's probably going to be one of the highest paid coaches. Why? Because that team, talking about Jacksonville, was so desperate to get a coach, they gave him whatever he wanted. Good on Liam Cohen. Yes. Hold out for just a little bit more. Aaron Glenn probably did that in New York. That's a sign of a pretty good guy with a head on his shoulders and a good agent that's pushing him forward. And we'll talk about it much, much more. Like it. Like the move, though.
Our next segment dedicated to Liam Cohen and the crazy 24-hour window we saw yesterday in the Sunshine State. Bill Belichick, of course, at North Carolina, and that seems where he will remain. The contract officially signed for Belichick at UNC. Buyout still remains, that weird June 1st date. He is going to receive pretty much $10 million in annual accommodation. So the contract is officially signed, DRS, and because of it, UNC season opener on Labor Day weekend, flexed to that Monday night primetime holiday window as North Carolina will open up the year in Chapel Hill against TCU.
There you go. So we got a pretty good game to open up. But understand this. He was so excited to take that job at Carolina, he waited weeks and months to sign his contract. Can't wait to see how this plays out. And you know what would be hilarious? TCU blowing UNC out game number one, and we don't have to hear about UNC for the rest of the season. How about that?
The Horned Frogs were an 8-win football team this past season. Won a bowl game as well, catching 2.5 on the road against UNC. A peculiar line, and the early numbers are already out. DRS practice reports from a big Thursday around the NFL as the practice week getting ready for Conference Championship Sunday does ramp up. And good news for the Eagles, both Jalen Hurts and Quinyon Mitchell practicing in full yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, it's always good news to get one of the better young cornerbacks in the NFL back into the lineup for the number one overall ranked defense. And then also on the opposite side, the instrument that we typically use is not the practice report to let us know who's going to be ready for the game. It's the point spread, people. The minute that game opened up at 4.5 and somebody got word that Jalen should be okay for next Sunday, bam, right to 6.5 at FanDuel. That's the report that I want to see. That's what I'm following.
That's where it remains right now, a 6.5-point spread in favor of the Birds, a closer spread in-game expected for that AFC title matchup in Arrowhead. Again, previews of both of those games thoroughly throughout the entirety of our 3 hours on this Football Friday. For the first time since a costly drop on a 2-point conversion that would have tied the game in the divisional round in Buffalo, Baltimore's tight end Mark Andrews releases a statement on social media saying he was absolutely gutted and devastated by what occurred on Sunday, but the moment will not define him.
Yeah, the moment is going to define him because he had a chance on Sunday just to stand at the microphone and actually say, you know what? This game's on me, man. I apologize to Lamar. Lamar's going to get all this flack. It was my fault we lost that game because we love apologies in the United States and with the human race. Yeah. Just stand up there, own it. We'll move on really quickly because I don't think anybody out there is like, man, he threw that game. No, we know he's a good tight end. Just own it in the moment and we forget about it and that's fine. We don't need a statement read days later saying you are gutted. We knew you were gutted. Just say you were gutted. It's all good.
Yep, I kind of agree with DRS. All right, NBA action internationally. The Paris Games underway on a Thursday and Saturday between the Spurs and the Pacers. And, of course, the shining star in France is the native, Victor Wembanyama. And what a performance it was for Wemby and San Antonio, putting up a buck 40 against the Pacers to win outright as a three-point dog, 141-110.
So much for the neutral site. Let's go under 230, 230 and a half, something in that range. Absolutely smoked that out of the water. But you know what I took from this game? The commissioner saying, hey, you know what? We just might go full EuroLeague and make another NBA. Can we just concentrate on what we're doing here in our tanking ratings in the NBA here in the States? Jeez.
30 points, 11 boards, 6 assists, and 5 blocks for Victor Wembanyama. Basically went over every prop associated with his name yesterday. Some hot stove news around Major League Baseball that finally does not feature the Dodgers, the Atlanta Braves, signing Jurickson Profar to a 3-year, $42 million deal. Profar, who spent most of his career in San Diego, an all-star last year, now makes his way to the A.
Love that move. Very versatile player, can hit for average, put the ball in play with some pop. That's a great signing by the Braves.
24 home runs, 85 ribbies a season ago. DRS, we know the Australian Open men's final. After Novak Djokovic retired due to injury in the semifinal against Alexander Zverev, it will be Zverev against Jannik Sinner. Sinner, the hefty favorite.
Yeah, by the way, maybe is there tanking going on? We need an explanation of why guys.
I mean,
he hates that crowd anyway and figured you paid all this money. You're not even going to get even half the show. I'm out of here. I'm taking my money. I'm moving on. Boo as the crowd went.
Soft. Soft. Just lose. Just lose. Yeah. Soft. Tennis players are soft. NFL news next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a wild 24 hours it was in the state of Florida, featuring two franchises in the National Football League and one coach. His name, Liam Cohen. Those two NFL organizations, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was a wild scenario yesterday. The will he, won't we. The he said, she said. The back and forth and the entire scenario following Liam Cohen and where he will coach in 2025. Ultimately, it results in a new head man for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Liam Cohen, after 1 year as the offensive coordinator in Tampa Bay, now becomes the new head coach in Duval County for this Jags organization. That seemingly was going to be the case, DRS, but the timeline is important. On Wednesday morning, when we were here on the early line, we brought you the breaking news that despite seeming like he was the front runner to take that head coaching vacancy in Jacksonville, Liam Cohen pulled himself out of the running for said job. A lot of speculation around Trent Baalke's role in making Jacksonville an attractive destination. 16 days after Doug Peterson was fired on Wednesday afternoon, Baalke was finally dismissed by Shad Khan in Jacksonville. Okay, what would the Jaguars do? Would they go back to the drawing board? Would they reach out once again to Liam Cohen? That's exactly what they did yesterday. Cohen secretly takes a visit to the Jags, despite telling the Buccaneers he was going to sign a new contract extension to make him the highest paid coordinator in the NFL this upcoming season to stay with the Bucs. The Bucs reach out, Liam, where are you? We're ready for you to sign. We've got it in the conference room. They don't hear back from Liam Cohen or his representation. And ultimately, in Jacksonville, they agreed to a deal. Liam Cohen, now the new head coach of this Jaguars organization.
Yeah, let's get to the bottom of the basics, because let's start where how the actual day played out, which I did get a little bit of a chuckle on. If anybody, I guess if you could say, like, if you are a husband with kids, a lot of the times the wife is going to do some of the duties here if you're a professional football coach, even in the, like, the off season, like, you are in a game planning, figuring out what's happening here. The fact that he is like, look, can't get to the phone, just took my kid out to the doctor, you know that didn't happen. So immediately when you're in Tampa Bay, you're saying, like, man, something's fishy. We got a monster contract on the table. He already said he's going to come back and agree to this. Like, you know what? I can't come in to sign life-changing money to assure you that I'm coming back to your franchise because maybe my kid has a little bit of sniffles here. I got to take him around the corner. Yeah. He would have been in the minute that that contract was agreed to, he would have gone, like, you know what? Do you need me to fax it over? Do you need me to drive it over? Do you need me to get a courier to take it over to you? You should have known something was up. But how he ended up in Jacksonville, this is what I love. NFL owners and teams, no matter what they do, no matter how poor they've run it, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think over a certain amount of what years, Jacksonville has the least amount of wins, 15, 20 years in the NFL, or at least under Shad Khan since he took over ownership of the Jaguars here. Where now you're saying to yourself, you know what? We're so rudderless here. I think you're a good coach. You didn't want my GM. How about I pick up the phone and call you and be like, hey, look, man, what do you say I fire the GM? You get the keys to everything we do. You can pick the GM, and I'm going to give you a blank check as if you're the most sought-after coach we've ever seen in NFL history. Like, it makes me laugh. Like, Bill Belichick is scrounging around Chapel Hill, North Carolina, when he's seeing guys like Liam Cohen. Cohen can come in and just change the entire franchise and get more money than Belichick made as a head coach here. It's wild to see it play out. But let's understand this. The chance to be a head coach is key. In the NFL, typically only a few spots open up. The talent pool is so watered down this year from a few guys up top that Liam Cohen and his agent absolutely played this perfectly. So now he's a high-paid head coach on a team with a lot of talent in a division that he can win right away. This seems like a grand slam for him. He fell right into this, and his agent and he played this perfectly to get that Jaguars job.
DRS, I think you said it really beautifully there. This is and should be a desirable destination.
It is a good job.
Of any of the seven head coaching vacancies we had seen this offseason. But namely because of one man, and I guess you could say two, the owner Shad Khan, and what Trent Baalke had as the GM in the front office, everybody around the NFL very plainly understood, Baalke's there still. The vision of this franchise moving forward is a little bit murkier. Liam Cohen comes in and is like, hey, I'll take the job. I don't love that guy, Trent. Okay, Shad Khan goes, you know what? Maybe you're right. We'll get rid of this dude. So he gets rid of the general manager. He'll have a say in who that next front office exec is. They'll have a similar vision, guidance for the direction of this franchise, and they have Trevor Lawrence. And Liam Cohen is only 39 years old. His path to now NFL head coach stardom has been an exactly escalator of a rise. DRS, in 2017, this guy was the OC at FCS Maine. He then goes to LA to work under Sean McVay with the Rams, works as a couple of years as an assistant coach from 2018 to 2020. Then he goes to Kentucky in 2021, that being at the FBS level, has great success, goes back to LA, that being the Rams in 2022, offensive coordinator. Not a great year for the Rams following a Super Bowl championship. Says, you know what, maybe I'm better suited for college football. Goes back to Kentucky in 2023, and of course this previous season, spent it as Baker Mayfield's OC with the Buccaneers. You do feel bad for Tampa. It feels like they got slightly played. And Liam Cohen did kind of ghost them. And now Baker Mayfield is going to have his eighth offensive coordinator in as many years in his NFL career. But the Jaguars are the team that is celebrating right now with a bright young head coach in place. And now it seems some optimism this offseason moving forward.
Yeah, continuity is usually what you like as a quarterback and an offensive structure. Not going to get that in Tampa Bay multiple years now where you're looking at new coordinators for Baker Mayfield. But he's a pro and he makes it work. He made Dave Canales work. He made Liam Cohen work. I'm sure he's going to make the next guy work. But also, you wanted lightning in a bottle for Tampa because you're the best of both worlds. Todd Bowles is a wonderful defensive coordinator here. And you had a great offensive coordinator, that perfect mesh point here where you're winning now playoff games, or excuse me, trying to win playoff games, but making the playoffs consistently. Understand this. Remember Detroit last year? Boy, what a tough season. Really good team on the rise. Ben Johnson's going to be a head coach. You're never going to see it all the way through. Johnson came back. They were wonderful on offense throughout the season. Didn't work out in the playoffs, but now you lose him. That looked like it was going to be such a massive win for Tampa Bay, which is why they go, you know what? We got to make him the highest paid coordinator in football just to keep him here. That's how much we really like him. Now he bounces. Now you're looking for another coordinator for the third straight year in Tampa.
A closing thought on the NFL. We'll go around the association and then get you ready for conference championship weekend. That's next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A little bit more on the Liam Cohen chaos caused yesterday as the new Jacksonville head coach seemingly was going to stay in his old spot as the Buccaneers offensive coordinator. Donnie, on Wednesday morning, when we got that breaking news near the end of our show, both you and I said, ooh, that's really good news for Tampa, a team that has won four consecutive NFC South crowns. To have that congruency in play caller and quarterback in Baker Mayfield for the Buccaneers, probably to be booked as the favorites to win the NFC South entering 2025 for a fifth consecutive season. Let's talk about the fallout quickly for Baker and the Buccaneers. How big of a blow is it to lose your offensive coordinator in your mind? Is it something that you can quickly replace with another young, bright play caller? Or can it affect, in terms of multiple wins year over year, a team's outlook?
It can affect it, but also understand this. Let's just say Godwin comes back with Evans, Bucky Irvin, and Baker Mayfield. You don't think a coordinator is like, yeah, I think I can make that work, which is why Dave Canales worked, and which is why Liam Cohen worked. You need, the X's and O's can be one thing, but as I like to say, the Jimmys and the Joes really make up the difference here. That's going to be a good spot, and I do think they're going to be fine. But as a player, let's just go into this, because I've had this happen multiple times. A head coaching change, which means a new playbook comes in, new language comes in. It's such a pain because usually when you say, okay, we're going to install it, you're spending the entire offseason, rookies don't know what's going on, you're learning the playbook, it takes you longer to acclimate. You know what feels great for a player? Damn, we had a great year. Liam Cohen's coming back. I know this playbook inside and out, and we're going to add wrinkles in the offseason right up to game number one. That's the toughest part of all. It's not finding another offensive genius. It's like, boy, we know exactly what's going to happen in this playbook. Why do you think the continuity out there in Kansas City is like, who cares who the offensive coordinator comes? It's Andy Reid's offense. He calls the plays and add wrinkles, and everybody knows exactly where they're supposed to be the minute they show up in offseason OTAs. That's not going to happen this year. That's the tough part, not the talent itself.
DRS, we don't have win totals out just yet, but the Jags in the AFC South, the Buccaneers in the NFC South. Presumably, adding Liam Cohen as the head coach to go with Trevor Lawrence, who should be healthy for 2025, is a promising partnership that should lead Jacksonville at least to a winning record and maybe scare the Texans atop the AFC South. Who do you think wins more games next year in a direct head-to-head match bet? Jaguars, Buccaneers?
You'd have to look the way it plays out. But if you are looking at the Jaguars, like, honestly, they really underachieved. There's so much talent in a football team, and I don't care that they played within numbers and covered a lot of spreads. There was just something missing here. If you had a dynamic play caller to that offense, which has one of the best young wide receivers in football, you have a quarterback, you're not worried about can he be a franchise guy. He has the talent. He just needs to be put in the right direction. A solid backfield here and a defense that can get after it. I'm buying the Jacksonville Jaguars because I do think that division is winnable for them next year. Tennessee, who knows? Still looking for a quarterback if that's going to play out in Indianapolis. And then you have the Texans, yeah, who are very good, which, again, it's very hard to find a division. Like, there's one good football team and everybody is terrible. But from a Tampa Bay perspective, the one thing you like about them, they're used to winning. The expectations, like, the standard is the standard in Pittsburgh. Right now, the standard is we win division championships in Tampa Bay and get, yeah, home playoff games. That's the way it plays out. For me, I always like the new shiny new toy, so I'll go Jacksonville. But nobody's going to be surprised next year when they get a solid offense according to, hey, look, Tampa's decent this year. Yeah, the expectations, yeah, are they're supposed to be. But give me the shiny new toy down in Jacksonville.
I love it. Thank you for making a pick as well. It is a football, yeah, Friday, but a quick break, yeah, to recap the association from yesterday. 250 total points scored in Paris, and the Spurs score 140 with Victor Wembanyama on full display in his native land over in France. 30-point win for San Antonio outright as a 3-point underdog against the Pacers.
They did smash him. And yesterday I said, I don't know if I want to go over the 27.5 points, which he got. I said, I like the rebounds, which I think was 11.5 yesterday. He got 11, but I also, yeah, like the blocks, which was 3, 3.5, and he got 5 of them. So if you were just betting Wembanyama and matching it up, going up against a money line with the Spurs, boy, that was a good day for you. Yeah. Goodness.
It is funny to be like, oh, I think Wemby's going to play well in front of his home crowd, yeah, in Paris.
Ooh.
In exactly what happened in a profitable way. A lot of statistical numbers for Victor Wembanyama, yeah, but nothing really matches Nikola Jokic, who had a 35-point, 22-rebound, 17-assist triple-double in a Nuggets win last night over the Kings, the first 35-20-15 game since Wilt Chamberlain in the early 1960s. Jokic, the first player in NBA history on a single day with at least 8 games to lead everybody in points and assists and rebounds. Oh, the Lakers blew out the shorthanded Celtics on the second leg of a back-to-back, 117-96. As we shared, the Lakers outright as a 4.5-point dog. Now to conference championship weekend. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, now it is fully a football Friday as we get you ready for the NFL's Final Four. It is conference championship weekend in the National Football League postseason. 2 games, 4 teams, hoping for those 2 spots in New Orleans to play in Super Bowl 59. Of course, still in the chase for a Lombardi trophy. The Eagles and the Commanders in the NFC title game. That is first up on Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia. And then the nightcap on a Sunday night and 2 very familiar foes in a very familiar setting. That would be Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri, between the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. And DRS, let's start with that AFC, yeah, championship game. You see the numbers there. It's still 1.5 in favor of KC at home. Still just 34 cents of distinction on the money line between these 2 teams. The changing number from our conversation about this game yesterday was a total slightly on a rise from 47.5 now to 48.5. Here we are on the final day that we will discuss this during the week on the early line. Of course, you'll be live on Sunday for Pro Football Today. What are your thoughts about the AFC championship game to end out this week?
Yeah, they pretty much have stayed the same from the moment we knew that we were going to get the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, because you're watching the weather reports all week. They really haven't changed at all. 30 degrees at kickoff, high 20s by the time the game finishes. Precipitation never entered into the forecast, and it's not there for Sunday. So it looks like a pretty clean slate. Windy temperatures were never going to be there. 2 to 3 miles an hour, now sit at 4 miles an hour as the estimated number. So it's a pretty clean run all the way through. But we also talked about, like, which game would you look at? And both of them have the chance to score points. But the gameplay, I should say, between Kansas City and Buffalo is so interesting to try to analyze, because so many times I go through my head and say, just make Kansas City into an operational offense where they have to function every time they get the football. They'd have that luxury so many times this year. And the joke, as I always bring out, is Kansas City goes down, takes the opening kickoff, punches in a touchdown, and goes, we don't have to score for four more possessions. Oh, no, we're losing a football game. Let's go down and score and take the lead again. Those are the jokes we have. But I would love to see the pressure put on them by the Buffalo Bills early in that game to force Kansas City out of its shell. But also understand this, which we're going to get to. History does matter. And let's understand this. From a fan perspective, for me, I would like nothing more than to not have to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs for two more weeks as they line up to a Super Bowl, because we do it every single year. The Bills are a fun story. Josh Allen finally clearing that final hurdle to get to the Super Bowl. And the Buffalo Bills fans, one of the more painstakingly passionate fan bases that have gotten kicked in the head more times than anybody else and haven't been to a Super Bowl since the early 1990s. But also understand this, we are handicappers here, where you can cheer for one side and still bet the other side. Because also, Ben, my stance hasn't changed. I will root for the Buffalo Bills. In no way, shape, or form am I betting the Buffalo Bills getting 1.5 points at Arrowhead in an AFC Championship game. Now, Ben, yes, they could win that game, and I will root for them to do that. But my money will be nowhere near the Buffalo Bills in this game.
And I think it's really fair. This is the Kansas City Chiefs, who are playing in their seventh consecutive AFC title game, hosting six of those seven. In the previous six AFC championship games, a victory in an appearance in a Super Bowl. In those four Super Bowl berths, three Lombardi trophies, including two consecutive. Here is the history at stake for Mahomes and KC come Sunday night. DRS, Kansas City, now the ninth team ever in the history of the NFL to win two consecutive Lombardi trophies. The prior eight, three of them only, made a conference championship game the following season in that three-peat chase. Nobody has ever even appeared in a third consecutive Super Bowl of any of those eight previous back-to-back Super Bowl winners. If Kansas City gets to the Big Easy, that would be another notch of history in this dynastic run, let alone trying to win said Lombardi Trophy. Are you going to be the person to step in front of that train and that trend? There's a lot of people that believe it is Buffalo's time right here, right now. And it's not just the Chiefs doing this as of late, and it's this upstart Bills team led by an MVP contender in Josh Allen. The Chiefs have made it to the AFC Championship game or a Super Bowl often, Donnie, in the last 5 years, rolling over Buffalo in the most significant stages of a season in the playoffs. 2020 AFC Championship game in KC. The Chiefs win by two touchdowns. That wonderful divisional round game, 13 seconds overtime, and Allen never gets the football back, but the Chiefs victorious. Last year, the game was in Western New York. The Chiefs were an underdog. It was supposed to be the end of this dynasty era in Kansas City, and KC still wins outright. So there's the Chiefs playoff pedigree that is more than deserved and, of course, earned. And there's also the Chiefs being the playoff nemesis Buffalo cannot slay. And again, I am not so sure I am going to be the guy to jump in front of that, despite the overwhelming public love for the Buffalo Bills in terms of what we are seeing based on the stats on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Exactly. And it's crazy to say, like, Patrick Mahomes could go down, Ben, as the single greatest football player we've ever seen play, Hall of Fame status, seven Super Bowls. But even in this game, I look at it and say, based on how the offenses operate, I find myself saying, like, you know what? I think Josh Allen is the more important quarterback to have for his team. You say, no, that's crazy. What are you talking about? Patrick Mahomes, you just said, could be one of the best ever. I just feel that juice and that vibe that's going to come from Allen, knowing that it's going to all be put on his shoulders and he must dominate this game. But also understanding the capabilities, where we said this last year, Ben, Aha, finally, Kansas City. You don't control your path to the Super Bowl. And if you win, you're going to have to beat the Dolphins, which, again, it was in an unbelievably freezing cold. It was at home, and the Dolphins were really injured. All right, they beat them. But you know what? Now you're going to get it. You're not going to Buffalo winning that game. And if you get lucky to do that, you are going to get slayed in Baltimore like nobody's ever seen. And you know what they did last year? They went to Buffalo and to Baltimore and then beat a more talented San Francisco team in the Super Bowl. And now we're going to say this. You're like, yeah, finally, Patrick Mahomes hasn't played all that well on offense. This team just knows how to win and get it done. And also, this team understands how to dictate pace. And what have we seen a couple of years ago? Kansas City will outscore you, but in the fourth quarter, they just need to make one stop. Now we've turned over to Kansas City's not going to turn the football over, and their defense is going to punish you, and they'll score just enough points to get a victory and move on to the next round. That's the dilemma that we have, because you can say to me, you know what? I think Buffalo overall is the better football team, and I might agree with you, but just not in the circumstances, because even if this game was in Buffalo, I might still be saying the same thing, like, good luck. Look what happened last year. Home field advantage for a healthy football team with Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, where you just say, Ben, they have to win. Yes, they have to cover 1.5. If they win 28-27, be it. Congratulations, you covered on the Bills. But you're asking Kansas City to lose this game at home, which is something they rarely ever do.
And Donnie, you see that money line, right? Minus 126 for KC, plus 108 for the Bills. A slight bit of movement on this football Friday morning.
Yeah.
4 cents. Now minus 122 for KC, plus 104 for Buffalo. All right, Ben, why are we talking about less than a nickel? Because in a game that is expected to be decided by this tightly contested margin, that is noteworthy. 60% of the bets on the spread for the Bills. And yet the line has basically stayed right there. I don't think the odds makers would want to make KC a home underdog with a conference championship on the line at all. But there's a lot of love for the Bills. And Donnie, maybe it's the idea that this is finally the Chiefs team that is not playing at its highest ever elite level that will finally be knocked off its perch. Maybe it's just, we've seen these guys before, and they get all the calls from the Zebras. We don't want them to play once again in a Super Bowl. But the betting public is on Buffalo. What about that total? Because you said KC's offense will do just enough behind a stifling defense. Well, we'll talk that 48.5 and what we expect the offensive flow to look like in Arrowhead on Sunday, led by the two quarterbacks. A showdown once more between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to get you ready for the AFC Championship game on Sunday night in Arrowhead. It's the Chiefs and the Bills meeting up in an NFL postseason for the fourth time in the last 5 years. It's been all KC previously. Is it going to continue to be that way? They have also been high-scoring games on both sides. 27-24, the lowest-scoring game from a season ago in the previous three playoff matchups between these two. That's still 51 combined points, which would be over our total for Sunday evening. Now standing at 48.5, up by a full point from where it was DRS earlier in the week. Just how much offense are you anticipating at Arrowhead come Sunday night?
Yeah, if we looked at both games, the game that you'd be leaning towards probably going over for me all week was Buffalo and Kansas City, because the engagement here, which you should have, I don't care how good your defense is. You just look at the Buffalo Bills offense and that hot run that it's been on. Like you said, Donnie, what's more likely, the Buffalo Bills to go over their team total or under the team total, regardless of who wins this game? I would still say over, because I'm expecting the Buffalo Bills to push some pace against Kansas City, and Kansas City will be forced to respond. How many times have we watched even the Houston game last week? If you're not putting pressure with your offense on Kansas City's defense, Kansas City's offense will reciprocate and say, okay, let's get first down. Let's see if we can get in field goal range. Let's make sure we get some points. We don't have to be all that aggressive. But if you put Kansas City in a hole, which is something I haven't been in quite for any, you know, two scenarios this year. Keep in mind too, like, we talk about Kansas City as ripe for the upset. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes sat out the final game of the season where they got blasted by Denver. Take that game away. Mahomes lost one time this year. And you say, yes, it was towards the Buffalo Bills. I get that. But you have ebbs and flows, good games, bad games, injuries that come in, and the Kansas City Chiefs never flinched the whole year. So this isn't a team that I always say, hey, they squeaked in a bad division at 10-7, got a little hot in the playoffs with good matchups, and oh no, the Buffalo Bills are here. This is a dominant football team from start to finish this year that's not getting a lot of respect, that's coming off of two world championships looking for a third. And I was talking to Kevin yesterday on the radio, and how interesting would it have been if the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs game number one went the Kansas City Chiefs direction. We might be talking about the Kansas City Chiefs unbeaten on the season looking for a Super Bowl. So that's where I like to start with the total, because I agree with that movement. 47.5 to 48.5. If you engage Kansas City, they will return fire. But it seems like nobody can engage Kansas City because their defense has been that good. Josh Allen just might be that Chico that goes, I don't care about Chris Jones. Oh, he's going to wreck the pocket? Yeah, I'll scamper outside and make plays with my feet and hit some guys downfield like Khalil Shakir. I got two competent tight ends. I have my best running back that I've ever had since I've been in Buffalo right now in Cook. So let's get after it. I look at that 47 to 48.5 end, and I still think it has a great chance to get into the 50s.
And listen, the Buffalo Bills are a top three scoring offense in the NFL. They are one of three teams alongside the Lions and the Ravens this year to average better than 30 points per game. They basically scored 30 in 9 of their last 11 when everybody was out there. And you see the distinction, Donnie, between the points scored by a team and the points allowed. That has been the story for this KC team. Last year, it was, uncharacteristic football, dropping games they never would, only 11 wins. And again, only 11 wins is funny, but that's the standard that Kansas City holds itself to. They had to go on the road starting in the divisional round. They were an underdog in their final three matchups to eventually win a Lombardi Trophy. And we scoffed at the idea that KC should ever be booked as an underdog in a critical postseason game. This year, they have won basically every game, except for week 11 in Buffalo, mind you, booked as an underdog. But the issue with the Chiefs now is, well, they haven't been overwhelmingly impressive. They're not blowing anybody out. They can't cover in games. They are expected to win big. I don't know how many times Donnie has said that throughout this week. It doesn't matter if they win this game by 3 or 6 or 10. They just need to win the game outright, as the money line is telling you right here, right now. Donnie, I do believe we flirt with that total. Will we go over 48.5? I'm not entirely sure. But I don't think this is a Chiefs game we have seen throughout this season. 14-10, 17-14, 20-17. I do believe both teams will touch at bare minimum 20. In KC, of course, continuing its dynastic playoff run. 19 total playoff games. The Chiefs have won 16. They have covered in 13. They have gone under 10 times and over in 9. And it's these two teams, these two franchises competing against each other for a fourth time in the last 5 postseasons. It's also these two quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes has all of the accolades, but can Josh Allen, in this year, the best potentially of his NFL career, finally do enough to pull off the upset? DRS, when you look at the numbers, how do you compare the QBs for Sunday?
Yeah, it makes sense because Patrick Mahomes should have the advantage this week. And say, well, Donnie, you just said that Josh Allen's the ultimate equalizer. He is, but understand this too. Just looking at simple metrics here, let's go by Pro Football Focus. Number 2 defense in the NFL, it's Kansas City. You know, as a bottom 5 defense rated in the NFL, it's the Buffalo Bills. So you're not, you saw last week, and we have to take recency bias always out of the equation. The Texans got a damn good defense. It's way better than the Buffalo Bills defense. So if you take a look at last week, oh, they struggled last week against Houston's defense. A lot of teams struggled against Houston's defense this year. But now you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs who have been absolutely lights out. This might be, Ben, the best version that Kansas City's ever had on defense in the Patrick Mahomes era right now. On their side, at home, in cooler temperatures here. That's the advantage. So you see those numbers, 1.5 touchdown passes. There's a reason why, hey, Patrick Mahomes, that offense doesn't really move the football, where he's juiced much more to throw 2 touchdowns than Jared Allen is. And it's, Josh Allen. The fact of the matter is, Josh Allen. When you're running the football, I don't really love Kansas City's running game. I do like, you know, the running game per se, if we look at the quarterback and the running back with Cook on Buffalo's side. But to me, that's all it comes down to. I give the nod to Mahomes, not because I think he's overall better quarterback. He's got a way easier matchup to move the football than, let's just say, Josh Allen.
We'll talk about Patrick Mahomes on the other side of the break and his historic numbers in prior AFC championship games because, of course, there is a large data size to look at for Kansas City. All 7 years with Mahomes as the starting QB, they have played in the AFC championship game. Josh Allen, Buffalo's leading rusher during the regular season against KC, and has utilized his legs often against the Chiefs in the past. Plenty more next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, we continue to break down each and every angle of our conference championship games for this Sunday. Now just 48 hours out, we look at the AFC championship game and that quarterback matchup that, of course, will have all the eyeballs, the attention, the notoriety, and thus the narratives. Patrick Mahomes is number 249 and a hook. Didn't even clear 200 last week against the Texans. This Chiefs offense, they're not nearly as good as they were back in 2021 or even 2019. But Donnie, in AFC championship games, that's where Patrick Mahomes steps up. 241 yards and a touchdown last year against the Ravens in Baltimore. That was the only of his six AFC title matchups without multiple passing touchdowns. He has only thrown an interception in one of his prior six AFC championship games. That was in the loss to Cincinnati in 2021. He has 15 touchdowns to two INTs in the six-game sample size around those AFC championships, and he has thrown for at least 290 outside of last year in every single one. I shared yesterday the first bet I locked in for this specific matchup is Patrick Mahomes over 249.5 because I do believe this game will feature offense and points. And I think Kansas City, regardless of what happens to the outcome, will prove once again that they can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the NFL.
You're right. And also matchups, you know, styles make fights here. You saw last week, cold temperatures there. Houston's got a really good secondary, including two wonderful cornerbacks. You don't really have that with the Buffalo Bills all that much. And you also have a healthy wide receiving core. You take a look at last week, a couple guys were invisible. Hollywood Brown didn't really do anything. DeAndre Hopkins didn't do anything because that means that secondary is blanketing them. Now you're going to have to pick your poison this week. You know, Andy Reid's going to scheme some things up, which leads to a pretty good day for Mahomes. And also it leads to a good day for Mahomes. If, and I do think Buffalo is going to be able to counterpunch whatever Kansas City does, or at least move the football to keep them as a viable option. Because usually you would say, well, wait a second, Patrick Mahomes 250.5 in this game. Get out of here. You know what they're going to do. Slow the game down. It'll be 7-6 at the half. They'll be down, you know, 10-6 or whatever, and they're 10-7 in the second half. And it'll be like, you know what? They'll finally score on that possession. And it might end that way. But I'm expecting way more out of the Buffalo Bills saying, you know what? We are going to be so aggressive in this game because the way you knock out the champion is not kicking field goals on 4th and 2 at the 13-yard line. The expectations, which we're going to go over some picks that we like at the end of the show, and it does deal with the kicking game here. I love the ultra-conservative championship games that you do see, but you know what I like even more? The ultra-aggressive games like, ooh, you know what? Yeah. This team is actually playing to win, not playing to let's see if we can keep it close at the end of the football game.
And teams have always been trying to figure out that blueprint. How do you beat the Chiefs? Do you keep it away from their lethal offense? Now, do you outscore them from the jump and try to have them play from behind? All of those decisions, all of those game plan X's and O's will go into the prop market. Josh Allen, by the way, at least 68 rushing yards in the previous three matchups in the postseason against KC. You see that number, 47.5. He had 55 in the regular season win in Western New York in week 11. He was Buffalo's leading rusher. But really outside of that game, DRS, James Cook has had a sensational season. Yeah. Through the 1,000-yard mark for a second consecutive year. Did not score last week as I thought he might against the Ravens, but has scored 17 rushing touchdowns this season. That's near the top of the NFL. What do you expect that Buffalo rushing attack to look like against this stout Chiefs front. In the idea often, Donnie, let's keep the football out of Patrick Mahomes' hands.
They're all correlated, right? You saw last week, and I was saying, you know what? This is going to really hurt the Houston Texans. Joe Mixon, who I like a lot as a running back, is coming in with a bum ankle in this game. Boy, if he's not effective, they won't be able to hang around. He looked a lot better and a lot healthier than I thought. So why can't we get similar numbers out of an even more explosive running back in Cook? Because the one thing you're not worried about with Houston, right, when you see that RPO-type game, yes, C.J. Stroud can run, but it's not a focal point of the Texans' offense. Now when you take a look and say you have to respect the quarterback in the backfield every time he runs an RPO, that gives you extra lanes. And also, Mixon is a great running back. You know who's more explosive? It's James Cook in that environment. So correlation for me, if Buffalo wants to hang around this game with a legitimate chance to win, I don't think they can do it with 37 yards from James Cook.
I think it's a great point. $1.24 Cook in the opening playoff game against Denver. Mm-hmm. Under this number last week, but the Ravens, again, the best rushing defense by far all season long in the National Football League. The Chiefs don't really have that punch, but they'll hope to get it done with two guys that, of course, have won AFC titles for KC in the past. Kareem Hunt, 3 yards higher than that of Isaiah Pacheco in terms of their rushing yards props. Hour number two of a Football Friday. That's next.